Hello and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. I'm Eric Fisher, and this is the podcast where I talk to the people behind the productivity, not just about being more effective and efficient, but about doing work with meaning and purpose. This week, I get to talk to two more of my, heroes. It's Trip Crosby and Tyler Stanton, better known as Trip and Tyler. You are most likely familiar with their work, and if not, you're going to be, because it's awesome and you need to see it. They've done most recently the email in real life video, as well as the conference call in real life. In fact, if you go to the show notes for this episode, you will find links to and probably embedded videos of some of my favorites, because that's all that matters, right? So check those out. We'll talk to them in just a moment. But first, I want to let you know and say thank you to Doodle for sponsoring this episode of Beyond the To-Do List. Doodle is my savior when it comes to scheduling online meetings with one person and myself, or many people and myself, because I hate to go back and forth over and over and over again through emails or through text messaging or Facebook messages or Twitter DMs to schedule a meeting. It does not have to be this hard. Doodle makes it easy. It's an online scheduling tool. I've been using it for years. I'm one of 24 million people that are using it to save time and schedule not just meetings, but events too. To schedule a meeting, you just select some possible dates and times. You invite the people you want to participate, and then they can mark what works best for them. And it does the work for you. I don't think that I've ever not had it come back where here's the time that works for everyone. Done. So I love it. The basic scheduling service is free. They also have free personal scheduling profiles called Meet Me, and they have premium Doodle, which has advanced features such as calendar integration, automatic reminders, and more. And that's $39 a year. Well worth it. Anyway, to get started for free and try out Doodle, go to beyondthetodolist.com/doodle. Get started. Take that headache of scheduling your meetings away. Trust me, I don't have meeting scheduling headaches anymore, thanks to Doodle. Anyway, beyondthetodolist.com/doodle. Now let's get into the conversation. All right, this week I have the privilege of talking with Trip and Tyler. That's Trip Crosby and Tyler Stanton of Trip and Tyler. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks.
Hey.
So let's go ahead and help the listeners identify which one of you is which. So Trip, go first.
I'm the non-monotone one.
Trip will be the one that's going to do all of the speaking today. So. He'll be the one cutting me off during a mid-answer.
Nice. Yep. So most likely, if people aren't familiar with your work, they probably are anyway, and they just don't know it. You guys have had a couple of really cool hit videos with the, let's see here, some of them have been the conference call in real life is probably your biggest, I would think.
Yeah, that was our biggest one.
Can I finish, Tyler?
What? We're not in the same room, so this is going to be really interesting.
This is actually a social experiment, and there are hidden cameras on both of you right now.
Okay.
Oh, great. I'm picking my nose.
Tyler asked if there would be video, and I lied. So that one was your biggest?
Our second biggest.
Okay, what's the biggest one?
Biggest. I'm not sure if we can say the title on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. The stuff people never say.
It's actually debatable. Because while one has more views, it's still possible that more people have seen conference.
Very true. Very true. Because we licensed that video to a lot of business events and meetings and things like that. So there's a good chance that another huge mass of people have seen that outside.
And it's more likely to have been watched in groups, and it's more likely to have been passed around in ways that don't necessarily affect our view count.
Right. The same IP address at a business.
Yeah. Like you care about any of that.
I have no idea what you're talking about. But anyway, so that's why people probably do know about you, even if they weren't aware of it.
Right.
But I've been a fan, let's see, since back when I was working in a business doing data entry and admissions for adult graduate students and watching through iTunes the Don't Be That Guy video podcast.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That is.
So I wasn't even aware that there was a Trip and Tyler until a couple years later.
Well,
so
I want to.
Yeah. So, and by the way, you guys don't seem to be on Wikipedia, so I don't know if you exist.
I figured that out recently. Like, why aren't we on? How do you get on Wikipedia?
I don't know. Who
you gotta know somebody who fakes it's like an online encyclopedia resume of some sort. So
okay,
it always amazes me how, like, who are the people that are, Eric, have you ever filled out Wikipedia information?
I have, yes.
You have?
Okay, but only because I was trying to correct something that was wrong, and then it promptly got fixed.
Can you tell us what it was?
It was some non-factual information at about a company I used to work for. So.
Okay. That makes sense. But there's just random people who update stuff almost instantaneously when it happens, and I just don't know who that person is. I've never known someone to do that.
So here's the added bonus here. There's probably enough listeners out there or one who's nerdy enough, educated enough to know how to start your Wikipedia entry. So
that was pretty politically incorrect.
I
should have just said unathletic enough.
right. Yeah, because it's
– by all means, if anybody wants to do that, go for it.
Yeah, so –
Eric will just fix the inaccuracies.
Yes, I'll go in and change it to. So anyway, Don't Be That Guy Films was where I knew you guys from. And that was like back in like 06. So
yeah, we started that before YouTube was a thing.
Yeah.
That was kind of where we housed videos that we made.
That's true. YouTube wasn't around that back then. And I didn't even realize. How did you? So here's the thing. Like, I've often said, I studied communication and video and you know, editing and all that kind of stuff back in college. And I kept saying to people these days, I do podcasting now because it's easier than video, because you can just talk. Video's a lot more involved. But if I'd known YouTube was going to be a thing at some point, you would have planned for it.
Uh-huh.
So sounds like you guys were trying to do that even before YouTube was around. You were doing the easy, free distribution of iTunes.
Yeah.
So let's start off at the superhero origin story, I guess, of you guys. Like, how nerdy a kid were you guys before you were bitten by the comedy spider? Like, where? And with great power comes viral video responsibility.
That's a great analogy. I was probably way nerdier than Tyler. I'll just go ahead and admit that.
Yeah, that's probably true. I probably played a little bit more sports than Tripp did.
Yeah, I was really into movies, making movies. Like, I was the first person I knew with movie editing software on their computer. And I was really into probably nerdier. I was never like a comic book guy. I didn't ever go that far. But I definitely
correct. Sorry, correct
I
answer.
I just got a text. Yeah, correct.
Great.
That's funny.
So for the bonus round, So when was that? How young were you when you had video editing software?
Well, I started editing in high school. I took a broadcast communication class, and I wasn't satisfied with the tools available in 1996 that were offered. It was like these big machines where you scroll around the wheel, and I found that this piece of software for like $600 at – what was the store you bought stuff like that? Oh, CompUSA.
Oh, wow.
And I bought it and just spent countless hours into the thick of the night for weeks on end just playing around with digitizing video and editing. It was like the greatest discovery I'd ever made in my life.
Did you pay for it, or did your parents pony up the money?
That's a good question. I did have a job at the time. If I paid for it, I probably spent all of my money on it.
Because, yeah, $600, man.
I know, that was a big deal.
And by the way, feel free to interview each other. That's totally cool with me.
We don't need you, Eric.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
No, I mean, that's I forget what the question even was. I somehow got onto talking about computers.
Will you turn your messages off?
How?
Just quit iMessage.
They still come up.
Do they?
Yeah, I think so. Sorry, guys.
No, that's totally cool.
That's popular.
I think it's hilarious that this is happening. No, system preferences. And welcome to the tech support.
Thank you.
Podcast.
So system preferences.
System preferences, notifications.
Oh.
And then probably, let's see here, messages.
Oh, yeah.
And if you deselect, please, play sound for notifications.
Oh, that's great. Done.
Please keep this entire segment in the
– I'm not editing.
Okay, good.
This is good. Not going anywhere. I mean, this interview is going great, but okay, go ahead. So $600 in high school. Yeah, you probably would have either had to have persuaded them that it was an educational expense or something. But
yeah, I feel bad right now, by the way, because I made up $600. I don't really remember how much it actually was. I just threw that out there because I remember it was expensive.
Yeah, because the iMac was not out yet, so there's no way that there was any cheap, inexpensive kind of.
No, I had this enormous PC in my house where the monitor was, bigger than a microwave.
Oh my gosh, with the green screen, kind of like the hatch in Lost. You couldn't edit video on that, but anyway, if you had a monitor hooked up to it,
yeah, basically.
So we'll get over to you in a minute, Tyler.
Okay, I'm going to go get some lunch.
Go for it. Trip's name comes first, so he's got priority. He's taller, too. I'll just mention that. So, Trip.
Yes.
So, college. You're already interested in you're interested in video at this point. What about comedy? Was that something – what did you study in high school? What did you study in college? And what did you think you were going to be when you grew up?
I knew when I was 11 years old, I wanted to be a movie director.
Nice.
That was my thing. Like I was fascinated with entertaining people through movies. Movies at the time symbolized probably anything in visual form. Like it could have meant, I didn't know what a video sketch was. I just knew what movies were. And that's what I always wanted to do. And I wasn't very knowledgeable though. I went to college. I could have gotten a degree in film, but instead I got a degree in media communication. So I ended up studying communication theory a lot more and television production, radio production, graphic design. And I'm glad those things have helped me more as a filmmaker than I think getting an internship in Hollywood for one semester really would have.
Yeah, you might have actually accidentally got burnt out on it and went a different direction.
Well,
I've known people who've done that. So
the comedy thing was in my blood too. In my youth group, I was the guy that would be on stage any chance given to read announcements in a funny way or be in a skit. And then Tyler and I both worked at a summer camp in college, which was a great excuse for us to do skits for younger people. And even in my college, like they would have these big events and my roommate and I would always be the comedic hosts of the events. And that was always my thing. I don't know of anyone that grows up thinking that they should study to be a comedian and go to college to learn that. You don't really – it's almost like something you have to learn on the side. And then when you study film or any other art form, you end up just kind of inserting who you are into that art form. So for me, I think once I was given the opportunity to use the tools I learned how to use to make something, I naturally made funny things. That's just kind of how it works. It wouldn't have made sense if I had started creating inspirational videos about the New Testament because I didn't care about that.
Well, I'll also add to that. Like, I don't know if we knew that a career in comedy was even an option. Like, I think for me at least, I enjoyed doing the skits and making people laugh, but to being from a small suburb of Atlanta, you don't really know that that's an option to do that with your career.
Right. So what about you, Tyler? What did you study and when eventually did you think that this was actually a possibility? When did you guys meet, by the way, also?
Well, we went to high school together. Trip is 2 years older than me, and we knew of each other. We had kind of a similar overlap of friends. So we kind of knew of each other, but we weren't friends until after college. I went to college at Samford University and didn't really know what I wanted to do. And because of that, I just got a business management degree because I knew that kind of would be a broad thing to study and wouldn't limit me too much. And I think, going back to what I was saying, I like Trip, like to find a way to make people laugh, but it just, you know, at least at Sanford, in the small bubble that I was in, it just wasn't a thing, like going and doing that after college for pay wasn't a thing.
So at what point did you guys decide, hey, let's start doing some of this stuff? Let's, you know, what, from the point of both graduating to the point of starting to put funny videos up on iTunes, what's that path look like?
Well, I was doing my own thing as a freelance shooter and editor. And basically I was spending my time making whatever anyone would pay me to make, which were essentially talking head videos for people to use as fundraisers. And I was really bored and dissatisfied with that. All the while I was volunteering for Tyler's Young Life Club at the time. And we were finding that we had great chemistry on stage together. And we were also friends and we were part of a social group that was very into humor. So most of our time was spent talking about things that we thought were funny. And it just kind of became obvious that we should make some funny videos in our spare time. I had cameras and I could edit, and you know, we had all the time in the world at that season of our life. So we just started making funny videos. And then I think our real motivation in putting things online at the time was just so the kids at the Young Life Club and our family members could see them. How else do you show a video in 2002 or whenever that was? I don't know. We put a QuickTime video, and then iTunes had podcasts. So we started a podcast. We knew nothing about that stuff. It was all experimental at the time.
Okay. So at what point do you decide? I mean, I know that you guys were doing Don't Be That Guy films. Was it just the two of you, or were there other, I know there's other people in those videos.
Well, when we like to say when we branded ourselves as Tripp and Tyler, it just didn't make sense to have two other guys.
They love that story.
Yes.
Yeah.
So just kind of just an evolution of sorts.
That's a great question.
Yeah. It's a weird thing how it all unfolded, because we had success as Don't Be That Guy. We, kind of on accident, our podcast got really popular, and that caused us to have some meetings out in LA, and we went out there and no one knew what to do with, you know, digital content creators. We didn't know what to do, and it kind of paralyzed us a little bit. And it really, I can't really pinpoint the reason, but after LA, we literally stopped making videos for 2 years. You may remember that if you were.
I do. I remember suddenly seeing a funny video of just the two of you in something and thinking, why do these guys look so familiar? And then stumbling upon the stuff dogs can get away with that people can't, and realizing that it was a Don't Be That Guy. And I was like, oh, I used to watch that. They're from that.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we first figured out that we could grow a big audience, it paralyzed us because we didn't know how to do that. We didn't know how to fund that. So essentially we kind of kept going with our day jobs. And one of the things that helped is I got a job at a giant church that really just wanted to hire me to direct funny stuff to show at their services, which actually ended up helping Tyler and I build a new platform, because that meant that while I was doing that, they were also having Tyler and I come in and be on-screen personalities as these two funny guys. And I think that's really where we started realizing that our brand is Tripp and Tyler. And the other guys are still two of our best friends. In fact, David, who was always the awkward guy in Don't Be That Guy films, just saying David to the camera. That was like always his only line, was just saying his name. Not even I am David, just David. That's what he would say to the camera. He actually works for us now, and he's producing a lot of our stuff and helping write, and he's on set with us all the time. We still work with him. Tim has moved to Chicago. He works for the National History Museum. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's a big museum.
Field. Yeah, I mean, but that David working with us is still pretty new. That's only the last couple of years. I think what we realized was having those guys was great. I mean, it was one of the best seasons of life, but essentially Tyler and I were the serious ones about pursuing this. Mm-hmm. Neither of the other guys thought, I want to grow up and be a comedian. Like, they were there to help, and they were great help. And we love any of their input, but they weren't as serious as us. I think we were the ones willing to put it on the line.
And we were the ones who wanted the most attention. So
yeah.
You were John and Paul.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't feel weird saying this, but I think we were the key personalities even in our Don't Be That Guy films. I mean, that's why this church, North Point, said, hey, do you guys want to be on screen? And not, hey, Tim and David, do you guys want to come be on screen? Like, and that's not awkward. That was open. That was an open piece of information, even within the four of us, that like, this is mostly me and Tyler.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I mean, that's, you know, we were all in sync, and Tyler and I were Justin Timberlake. So that's great. What happened.
Awesome. Okay. So let's get into the nitty gritty of this a little bit. You've talked a little bit about, you know, being on set and Dave's now working with you. It's obviously, I think that your workflow has changed as time's gone on. How did you, in the early days, you know, go about creating, hey, this is a good idea for a video, let's make it, to how it works these days?
I think one of the biggest evolutions in our process has been, you know, back in the day when we first started, we would, you know, well, way back with Don't Be That Guy, if we had a funny idea, we would just literally go out in the backyard and do it. And then there got to be a phase where, and there was, when it was like, create a funny video about blank, like if it was for North Point, or it was for Catalyst or something like that, there'd be a subject for a video and we try to think of something on the spot. And I think the evolution to where we are today is, we're constantly recording ideas. We're constantly filling up this folder in Evernote to where, you know, when it's time to execute an idea or when it's time to bring something to the table, we have this bank of 50 to 100 ideas that we're able to choose from that have already been thought through and developed, as opposed to just somebody says, come up with an idea about bears, and we have to just start brainstorming right there. Does that make sense?
So what I would add is our model, if you're asking,
did I not do a good enough job of explaining that, Trip?
No, I'm going to talk about the actual, like, more what he was asking, which is the process of how we make videos. So like Tyler said, we made stuff in our backyard, but then the way we would create opportunity was we started getting involved with a lot of corporate events and places that would hire us to make videos for some sort of special purpose that we would then repurpose for our YouTube channel. So that's really how we got back into YouTube, was we would find client work where the client was asking for something funny, and that would enable us the opportunity to create it and then re-edit it and throw it on our YouTube channel. And that was like phase two. And now we're in phase three, where we're, instead of working with clients, we're working with sponsors. And this is where we've been trying to get for a long time. And it's new territory. But it's essentially where we come up with a funny idea that we want for our YouTube channel, and then we just go find someone to sponsor that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I like it because you guys aren't, you know, doing product placement throughout your more recent videos. It always comes near the end, and it's actually very well, you know, presented. It's not presented as, you know, car salesman like.
Thank you.
So
that's the intent.
Yeah.
But you know, we still get a little bit of flack for that, but you know, it's just, we feel like we're taking we disable the Google ads on the front end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and give someone the option of watching our video completely ad free if they want to. They don't have to watch the last 15 seconds.
Right.
So, you know, there's some people that are just going to be upset.
Yeah, no, I can't remember which one of the ones was like one of the first ones I saw that had the ad in it. Maybe it was the one where.
Well, it was probably conference call.
Yeah, probably. And I remember getting to the end and thinking, oh, they've got an ad in here. Good for them.
Oh, thank you.
It pays you to do more. And I was like, that means you guys are going to keep doing more. And I felt really good to see that. So
yeah, we're not only going to do more, we're going to do better. Right. Because when we're able to create ideas on our own without a client having to come to us and give us an idea to create for them, they're better. And so having sponsors should make our entertainment value go up. And that's the main thing we want our audience to understand. But I also want to affirm something that Tyler was saying earlier that is also a key part of the evolution, which is how we aggregate our ideas. And now that we can do that, now that we can use our own ideas, it's much more motivating for us to keep a large bank of ideas around every possible topic, as opposed to just being passive and waiting for company ABC to say, can you make a video about plumbing?
Yeah, because if you go to our YouTube channel and look at videos from 2009 until 2011 or 2012, like some of them are just very weird concepts. And what a lot of people don't realize, like Tripp was saying, is that we made that first for a client for a very specific use. And it just so happens we repurposed it to try to make it funny for a general audience, but right. You know, it had a, like there was one world-class apologists where we just do a bunch of things and say that I'm sorry. We probably would have never made that video had we not made it for a very specific, you know, part of a program that had some specific speaker
to play. Yeah. So almost like if you were writers, it would be almost like a writing prompt that you had to, right, put constraints on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that made you become better at making things.
Yeah. I mean, it could be argued that that's actually more helpful creatively sometimes than a blank slate. Because everyone knows that creative boundaries are helpful, but client boundaries aren't. I mean, it's not
right.
It's harder when you have a specific audience and all sorts of other weird constraints other than just a topic. Things like, well, it's got to have this message integrated throughout, or we're trying to introduce some sort of new sales strategy and we want you to talk about that, but make it funny. Okay. Then that's when it starts to get really challenging, and we're not going to make our best work in that scenario. We're going to make our best work when we're on a conference call together and we're like, oh my God, like imagine if people treated each other this way in real life. Bam, there's a video. Now that's where the good ideas come from.
And it's funny, over the last five or so years, we probably have 50 to 100 videos that are just sitting on a hard drive somewhere that we made for a client for internal use that it was just impossible to repurpose. It was so specific, so targeted, so brand messagey that there was no way to salvage it. So what actually made it to our YouTube channel is just a fraction of the videos that we've made.
So the book, is that, you know, first of all, what made you think you could, I mean, should write a book? And then two, is that, you know, things that could never be made into videos, or is this kind of a fleshing out of, hey, let's see how this works in book form. And then,
well, we both used to blog really frequently, and this book kind of was birthed out of those seeds of ideas back in those days. A lot of the material in the book is stuff that we have made videos for, or vice versa. You know, some of the videos that we're currently making is from material pulled from the book. So we kind of feel like they go hand in hand and work well.
Yeah, we're not afraid to repurpose ideas. I mean, no more than Hollywood is afraid to have a book and a movie. I mean, it's the same concept can work in two different ways. And when it's executed in two different mediums, the value is different in both of them, even though it's the same idea. So you would see, if you look carefully, you'll see a lot of overlap in our book and our movie. And Tyler's also being really humble, but our book is mostly his voice from his blog. And, you know, I think that something different happens when Tyler just starts writing about a topic than when we both start trying to come up with a video idea. It's very different.
You know, now that you mentioned that, I do think it does sound like or read as Tyler's voice.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. Like it's got, you've got that reader type. Trip seems more animated. Tyler, you seem more, you know.
Can I say that?
What did you say? I didn't hear you.
I said it reads more like a dick is saying it.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, Tyler's much better at observing, making observations and noticing things that they bother everyone, but they forgot to notice. And I can't do that as well as Tyler. So that's more of the voice of that book.
It has that. I mean, you guys are doing essentially, here's the awkward stuff that no one's willing to talk about that bothers them online versus offline, et cetera. It's almost, you know, in a way, slightly modern day Seinfeld.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So I love it. And so does Jeff Foxworthy on the cover. So that's the book. I don't know. Do you guys have much more time or you got
to
go?
I have to jump off.
Okay.
But, Tyler, you're welcome to talk on my behalf.
Well, I mean, I don't, either way, I have like about 10 more minutes, but.
Okay. Well, actually, so Trip, I will talk to you later.
Yeah.
Tyler, great. I have, I actually do want to ask you a couple questions about your project with Brian, Elaine.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Cause I think that's worth mention. So.
Okay.
All right. I'm out of here.
See you, Trip.
See you guys.
See ya. Thanks. So, yeah, Trip had to go. Tyler's still here. Tyler, you've been doing something pretty cool, with Brian Elaine, who's been on the show before. What's it called and why did you guys decide? I mean, I think it's cool. So trust me, I'm in there. So.
Oh, good. Good. It's called Free Traveler. And, it's basically, it was birthed out of a, well, the kind of the basis of it is teaching people how to travel hack. And we didn't know anything about this 2 years ago. Our friend Chad Gibbs, I don't know if you know Chad. He got really into it. I posted something on my blog way back in the day about, a guy who, it was some article about travel hacking. There's another friend of mine, named Steve Cam, who the article was like on Gizmodo and, how I traveled the world and for $417 or something like that. And so it got Chad really into it. Chad, over the course of a couple years while writing a book, managed to travel around the world, like literally visit. I don't think he'd ever been out of the world, but had learned how to kind of game the system and travel to all these different countries all over the world for literally pennies on the dollar. And it has to do with like, you know, with Brian and I, with Free Traveler, we kind of get into the nitty gritty of how to do it. And there's a lot of information out there. Tons of information out there.
Right.
And, you know, forums and deep, deep blogs. There are experts. We are by no means experts. But what we do with Free Traveler is it's almost like a tour guide in a sense. Like we cherry pick the basic information that you need to know to get results and to see things happen. And we just kind of walk you through that process so that A, you can, you know, get your first few trips for literally pennies on the dollar. But then also you kind of learn the principles so that you can kind of go off and get as deep into it as you want to. But back to Chad, had he invited me and Brian Elaine to go on a trip with him to Amsterdam. And he took us free of charge to go overseas to Amsterdam. We had a week over there and we were like, holy cow, this is legit. And at that point is when he kind of started teaching us like how to get our feet wet with it. And we saw the, like Brian and I both knew that there was that, you know, again, the information was out there for free. We could go do it, but we saw the value of having somebody like Chad hold our hand through it. And since then, in the last 2 years, we've gotten over, you know, $10,000 in travel for probably $400 or $500. And that's about, you know, 7 or 8 trips each. So we're really, you know, kind of new to the game, considering we've only done it, been doing it for 2 years, but we're far enough in to where we can help people kind of learn the process and learn the principles of it.
Yeah.
That's kind of why we started it. We did a beta launch back in September just to kind of get some stuff out there for people who wanted to kind of be with us on the front end. We're doing a lot right now, like a lot, in terms of revamping what the course is going to be, how we present the information and things like that. So the next launch or the next, whatever you call it, is going to be a little bit different, maybe a lot different than the first one, but, it's pretty exciting, man. It's a cool, like, it's a pretty fun world to get into if you have the time and energy. And again, it doesn't take that much time, but it's just kind of getting over the hurdle of understanding some of the basics.
Yeah. And I love the fact that, you know, Brian took the time to write almost a rebuttal to Dave Ramsey's article.
Yeah. Well, you know, Brian and I both have been Dave Ramsey guys in the past. I was probably more of a hardcore Dave Ramseyite, and I still really like Dave. And I like what he teaches. We're definitely this whole thing that we teach that we take you through. We're very clear about, listen, if you're in debt, don't do this. Mm-hmm. Get out of debt first. If you're not financially responsible, like if you're one of the people that Dave's talking to about not being able to handle a credit card, then don't do it. If you're irresponsible or not organized, don't do it. We kind of lay all these caveats out at the beginning and then say, now, if you can be responsible, if you can treat your credit card like a debit card and keep track of all the stuff that you have going on, if you do get multiple cards, then it's great. It's a great thing. And Brian, you know, like you said, Brian took this post that Dave wrote. And again, we understand Dave's approach. Like he's a black and white guy and he's preaching to a lot of people who are very financially irresponsible or have been. Mm-hmm. So we get why you have to make those black and white statements, but Brian's post was just brilliant. And it was a kind of a rebuttal to, you know, why it's just not, it just doesn't make any sense to be that black and white on the issue of owning and using a credit card if you can be responsible with it.
Yeah. It's almost, I mean, again, I'm not going to knock Dave either, but his perspective of what he was saying was almost as if he was treating everyone in the world as if they were an alcoholic.
Exactly.
Which isn't the case. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it was a really cool article. I loved reading that.
Yeah. And just the fact that we've seen it firsthand, like it's not just the reason that we're kind of taking our time with this, the reason that we did like a soft beta launch at the beginning is that we're really trying to get some, you know, this first batch of people to give us some feedback, to get some good, to make the necessary tweaks to make this a course worth going through and make it worth people's money. You know, we're working on a kind of a free resource right now that we're going to start giving away really soon, but it's going to be like a, you know, 3 quick steps that you can do to, save $500 on your next trip. And it's not just, it sounds kind of like
right. Scam.
When you start throwing around those terms like save $500, I personally see that and I think there's some sort of a catch.
Right.
But we try our best to dispel that and to show you that it can be done.
Yeah. Well, and I've seen the evidence. I mean, I've seen Brian's Instagram feed of he and his wife and two kids out in California on a trip that, you know, would normally, I mean, I estimate a couple thousand and it was a couple hundred.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah. It's crazy. And what's cool about creating this course is that it's caused Brian and I to be really super organized, because we want to be able to say, hey, look, I've saved $5,872. We want to not just say I've saved around a couple thousand. It's a lot more powerful when you can see the real numbers. So the fact that we've had to keep up with this stuff, it constantly re-energizes you. You know, when you're taking this trip, I took my family of five to Boston, cause my sister-in-law had a baby. So we went up there, and, for the five of us to go, it was like, probably $45.
Oh my gosh. That's like
flights and hotel.
That's less than one meal at some point.
It was ridiculous. It was round trip flights on Southwest and our hotels.
That's great.
So we're doing that. And if you go to freetraveler.com, it's TRAVLR. There's no E's at the end.
No vowels.
Well, the A's a vowel.
The E's are in there too, the first ones. So yeah, forget everything we said. It's FREETRVLR.
AVLR.
So just the last E.
Traveler,
like Tumblr.
Exactly. That's actually the best
way to put it. Yeah.
But now that we're on an audio only podcast with no capability of like a screenshot,
I'm putting up a lower third right now.
Yeah. If you go there, you can just sign up for our email list to kind of be notified when it opens back up. Cause again, it's closed right now. We're tweaking and trying to move forward.
That's good. Well, I almost called you Trip. That would have been wrong. Tyler, it's been good to talk with you and Trip. I'm excited about where you guys are going. I'm excited to hear about, you know, where you've come from and how you've kind of struggled and yet overcome that and are continuing to create stuff for yourself, and even how you've branched off and done this with Brian. It's kind of the business major in you, huh?
Well, it is fun to just kind of, you know, try to birth something from the ground up and see what happens.
Yeah.
I think it's fun for both Brian and I.
Cool. Well, it has been awesome. So where should I send people? Just tripandtyler.com?
There's tripandtyler.tv.
.tv.
That's kind of our main hub. But, you know, the biggest thing there's the Facebook page and the YouTube channel and stuff like that. We really love and connect on a deeper level with our people via our email list. So if you go to tripandtyleremail.com, that'll take you to an email and you can get the first chapter or one of the chapters of our book for free download when you sign up. So
awesome.
Tripandtyleremail.com.
Great. I will put links to all of this stuff in the show notes for this episode.
Awesome.
And everybody will find it. So awesome, man. Thanks for having me. And it's been my show. So thanks for being on it.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did, especially when I'm giving tech advice and being a Mac genius during a podcast. Anyway, this one probably was more humorous than regular, but that's a good thing. I hope you get a little bit more inspired too, because for me, I had very much some of the same interests and even some of the same experiences. And again, like I said, if I'd known YouTube was going to be a thing, I would have kept at the video editing and stuff. So what's stopping me now? Nothing really, just time and scheduling. I guess I better learn some more productivity tools to fit that in at some point. But there you go. I hope you enjoyed this. You really do need to go subscribe to Trip and Tyler's YouTube channel. Check out all their videos. They are highly shareable. And the new book is hilarious. I love it. My wife does too. We actually were passing it back and forth. Anyway, let them know that you heard them here, what you thought of the interview, the episode, etc. Thanks again to Doodle for sponsoring this episode of Beyond the To-Do List. Go get started taking that pain and that headache away from your meeting scheduling process. It does not need to be there. You can have everybody tell you when works for them for a meeting all at once instead of ping-ponging it back and forth all across the table with one or a whole handful of people. You don't have to do it. Go to beyondthetodolist.com/doodle. Start getting Doodle in that system, and it will take that headache away. Trust me. Anyway, do it. Let me know if you've done it. If you've done it, if you've tried Doodle, let me know. Shoot me a message. I want to hear from you. All right, I'll talk to you later. See you next episode. Beyond the To-Do List is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network. Find more of our award-winning and award-nominated podcasts to make you think, laugh, and succeed at noodle.mx. Learn how to podcast. Theorize over the TV shows Once Upon a Time, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, and Under the Dome. Laugh with our clean comedy, delve into science fiction and philosophy, learn critical thinking from movie reviews, and more at noodle.mx.